Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our public media friends, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Tuesday, the 17th of February, 2026. Mardi Gras. President Donald Trump has nominated an executive from a hospitality company as director of the National Park Service. The nominee has extensive business contracts with the agency he would lead. The nomination of Scott Soschal late last week follows widespread firings within the Park Service under plans by the Republican administration to sharply reduce its size. The Park Service also faces blowback for the removal or planned removal under Trump of park exhibits about slavery, climate change, and the destruction of Native American culture. Socha is a president for Parks and Resorts at Buffalo, New York-based Delaware North, which describes itself as one of the world's largest privately owned hospitality and entertainment companies with more than $4 billion in revenue in 2022. The company provides services in at least six national parks, including Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, and Shenandoah. Ranchers live and work at the intersection of a lot of pressing issues: land management, climate, politics, and economics. As Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports, a new interview-based study gets the scoop directly from Wind River Basin ranchers.
A UW Extension researcher heard from roughly 40 ranchers around Riverton, Lander, and the Wind River Reservation about how they're navigating that complex patchwork. Co-author Callie Serber says inflation was a big theme.
People talked about that a lot, about how, you know, baling wire used to be X price, and now it is three times higher than it was a few years ago.
The cost of heavy machinery was another sore spot. And the interviews took place in 2024, before widespread tariffs. But even with those changes,
they really have this attitude of taking it in stride and adapting as the time comes.
Serber hopes the research can help people who work with ranchers better understand what's going on in the area. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Montana school districts are struggling to win voter approval for local levy requests that help pay for basic operations, according to the Montana School Boards Association. Last week, the group told a state school funding commission that passage rates have dropped sharply, even as fewer districts ask for levies. The association says approval started sliding during the Great Recession and fell faster during the COVID-19 pandemic. Montana's complex K-12 funding formula requires school districts to put mill levy requests before their voters if they want to grow their general fund budgets beyond a minimum threshold specified by the legislature. Those requests, which often share a ballot with school board elections, ask voters to authorize property tax increases to channel extra money to their local schools. The data show far more levy failures than in past years. Officials also report weaker support for school bonds. A Billings Police Department press release last week detailed the February 5th confiscation of 45 pounds of methamphetamine in a raid across Billings and Laurel. An affidavit in support of the arrest of 45-year-old Lane Demara states that Eastern Montana HIDTA drug task force effort additionally resulted in the confiscation of several firearms and over $31,000 in cash. Assistant U.S. Attorney Colin Rubich is prosecuting the case. The investigation is being conducted by the EMHIDTA, which includes agents and officers from the FBI, DEA, Border Patrol, Homeland Security Investigations, U.S. Postal Inspection Service, Billings Police Department, Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office, and the Montana Department of Corrections, Probation, and Parole. Service of the search warrants included assistance from the Billings Police Department Street Crimes Unit, SWAT team and drone team, the Laurel Police Department, and the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office, TRT. If convicted, Damaris could face a mandatory minimum term of imprisonment of 10 years, a maximum term of life, a fine of up to $10 million, and at least 5 years of supervised release. U.S. Magistrate Judge Timothy Caven presided over the February 10th hearing. Damaris was detained pending further proceedings. Montana is emerging as a serious target for new AI data centers, but many key details stay hidden. Montana Free Press reports that interest is rising fast as big tech needs more computing power. In recent weeks, residents have packed public meetings in places like Billings and Butte. People want clear answers on electricity demand, water use, and the potential for higher utility bills due to the amount of power data centers use. Developers often share power needs but say little about how much water they will use to cool the computers. Quantica proposes a massive campus near Broadview. Sabey is pursuing a large site near Butte and says it uses mostly air cooling. A Bozeman-based candidate for a top U.S. State Department job is facing bipartisan backlash after a congressional hearing last week. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports.
President Donald Trump nominated Jeremy Carl to be Assistant Secretary of State overseeing international organizations. At a confirmation hearing, members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee questioned Carl about past statements they called racist and anti-Semitic, leading to several tense exchanges. Carl is a fellow with the conservative think tank Claremont Institute and a former Humanities Montana board member. Governor Greg Gianforte appointed Carl in 2022 to the nonprofit board that supports cultural programs around the state. Montana U.S. Senator Steve Daines warmly welcomed Carl to the committee last week to kick off the confirmation process. Carl needs the Senate's endorsement to assume the new role, which is now in jeopardy. At least one Republican senator from Utah has said he won't support Carl, and Democrats appear unified in their opposition to him. During the hearing, Carl walked back some of his previous inflammatory statements and defended others. In a social media post afterward, he said he was unbothered by Democrats' criticism, writing, quote, "None of them know me at all, so their words mean nothing," unquote. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
A southwestern Montana community is searching for new leadership after its mayor abruptly resigned. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
On February 4th, a tense city council meeting in Dillon took a turn when Mayor John McGinley suddenly resigned. McGinley announced his resignation during a heated discussion with city council members over transparency and communication between the two branches of local government. McGinley, who served as Dillon's mayor for 4 years, told councilors he could no longer handle the stress of the position. City councilors held a special session February 11th to determine next steps. The city is accepting applicants for McGinley's replacement and will decide on a candidate March 4th. Local government jobs host some of the highest employee turnover rates. Data show national vacancy rates for these positions are twice as high as the private sector. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is being sued for refusing to draft a national recovery plan for wolves. The Center for Biological Diversity filed the suit on February 10th, saying the agency's refusal violates the Endangered Species Act. Gray wolves are federally protected in 45 states. The Northern Rocky Mountain population, which includes Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho, is not. Fish and Wildlife was previously court-ordered to draft a plan by the end of 2025. The agency reversed course last fall, saying a plan was not needed because wolves had recovered and should be removed from federal protection. In a statement, the center wrote recovery plans are still needed given that wolves occupy less than 15% of their historical range. In the filing, the center says a plan would guide management of wolves in places where their ranges are expanding, like California and Colorado. Montana's highest court has upheld the conviction of a Kalispell man for obstructing police officers while he was filming a traffic stop. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports.
Kalispell resident Sean Doman argues his First Amendment rights were violated when Kalispell police arrested him in July 2022. His case made it to Montana's Supreme Court, which disagreed. In a unanimous ruling, the court said it couldn't consider some of Doman's arguments because he failed to make them at trial. The justices also noted the officers agreed with Doman's First Amendment right to record. They told him so during the incident. The justices instead focused on whether Doman had prevented the officers from doing their jobs and agreed that he had. Doman initially refused to back away from the vehicle and gestured at the passengers inside. The officer said they arrested Doman because he took their full attention away from the traffic stop. A trial jury convicted him of obstructing a peace officer, and the court ordered Doman to pay $538. In a separate opinion, Justice Jim Shea praised the officers' conduct and said their handling of the situation, quote, "represents the norm rather than the exception, at least here in Montana." In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
Laurel residents have been raising concerns about city and state transparency in selecting Laurel for a new facility that would treat criminal defendants before they stand trial. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports that what is required of the government when it comes to public input isn't always straightforward.
The controversy among Laurel residents is how the state picked their city for the forensic mental health facility and why they didn't have a chance to comment on that choice. The state had been considering Billings, but asked communities to express interest after initial pushback last fall. According to a letter from Laurel City Administrator Kurt Markegaard to the state, the city never applied because there wasn't suitable property in city limits. Markegaard did point to land outside of city limits, but noted the state would need to go through the annexation process. The state then selected Laurel in early December. Markegaard and city council members have said they were surprised by the decision and first heard about it in the press. Montana Board of Investments Director Dan Villa apologized for that surprise during a December meeting. BOI is charged with developing the facility.
That process could have been and indeed should have been handled better.
Villa promised more transparency as the process moved forward. The state health department, in a statement to MTPR, said it has kept the city government up to date and is also committed to transparency. In mid-January, the state found a potential site outside of the city. That's when public opposition really began. Residents have accused the state of not including the public in the site selection. But what's required of the state in this case isn't crystal clear, says Constance Van Clay, University of Montana law professor. There are two basic legal principles at play. One is the right to know.
So the right to know is the right to see what the government is doing, both by looking at their documents and also by watching them deliberate in meetings.
Then there's the right to participate.
The right to participate is actually an affirmative right to get to have your voice heard by agencies before they make a final decision.
That phrase, final decision, is particularly important in this instance. The BOI had public meetings about the facility. State health officials also presented to state lawmakers during meetings where the public could comment. Then there's the state's annexation application, which will go before Laurel officials. Local residents will be able to comment during that process.
At least to some extent, there has been some public process up through this point.
University of Montana law professor Mitch Werbel says there isn't enough case law to make an easy distinction of what constitutes a final decision by the government in this case. Van Clay agrees. She adds the state providing more chances for Laurel residents to comment might have been a good idea.
It's inconsistent with the spirit of the law for people to be blindsided by major decisions that will affect them.
The state's application to annex property for the new mental health facility into Laurel is forthcoming. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.